Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bolts know how to strike. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. Brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. They remind you, a new 65-inch HD television with every new vehicle purchase. Stop by Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to watch the Lightning in style and the one big game remaining in the NFL season this weekend. The showroom is fantastic, and you can get started today on your next vehicle purchase at BillCurryFord.com. Whoa! What is that? A sponsor mentioned out of the gate? That's how passionate I am about Bill Curry Ford and their sponsorship of Tampa Bay Lightning Hockey Talk every week. Twice a week this time on JoeBucksFan.com. Hey, man, we just spoke on Monday. Long time no talk. 2 points were available to the Lightning. We didn't get them. We came up empty last night, nearly got shut out, lost to the Penguins 4-2. This is an easy one to break down. I'm going to break down last night's game, take a look ahead to the weekend and the week ahead on the Bolts schedule, and just kind of tell you, now is the time. It's winning time. It's not quite postseason intensity, but it's also not a walk in the park now. You are not going to catch many teams asleep unless they're out of the playoff chase. The bad news for us is, in the Eastern Conference, it is a very jumbled mess. After you get past us to the 2 seed all the way down to the 8, and then a couple of contenders trying to get into that wild card position, 9 through 11, I'll bet you the Rangers haven't given up on the season yet. The Panthers probably have not given up on the season yet, but they need to have a killer stretch of the next 10 games. And that's what you're going to be seeing a lot of, is desperation. We got an angry bunch last night, an angry bunch of Penguins on that ice in Pittsburgh, and they took it to us after the first few minutes when we came out flying. This was a very predictable result for a couple of reasons. Number one, rust factor for us. That's the obvious one, right? We had the bye week. We had the All-Star break. Had not played a game in 10 days. And you heard it ad nauseum on the NBC Sports broadcast last night. It is true, though. Game shape is different than anything you can do training-wise. Practice, training, doesn't matter. It's not the same as being in game shape. The Penguins already were in game shape. They had played Monday night. They essentially got little to no rest after the All-Star break, and they got it handed to them by the New Jersey Devils. The Devils embarrassed them 6-3. So they come back home. They're angry. They've got one game under their belt, their legs underneath them, and you saw that. To me, the most entertaining part of the game, honestly, was the second period, where both teams were going at a breakneck pace up and down the ice, and there really wasn't a whole lot of action around the net, not a whole lot of scoring chances, but you could see it. Pittsburgh was firing on all cylinders. It's the desperation that these teams are going to play with. Pittsburgh has been around the Cup Finals, the Conference Finals, so many times they've lost count. But when there is a danger of having to go play us for a best of seven, or an outright danger of missing the playoffs, you will skate with greater intensity. It doesn't matter that there's just under 40 games to go in the season. What am I talking about? Well, it's the same thing I've been talking about a bunch the last couple of weeks on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Look at the standings here, okay? If you're just looking at the conference standings in the East, woo, we're at 76 points through 50 games. The New York Islanders, tomorrow's opponent. We go out to Brooklyn, face the Islanders, the surprise team in the East. It's them in Montreal, but the Islanders are holding court right now with what they're doing, especially in their last 10-15 games. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. But we're at 76 points through 50 games. Islanders have 63 through 49 games. And then you rattle on down the list. Toronto, 62. Montreal, 61. The Pens have 60. So do the Bruins, so do the Caps. Columbus is at 59, and then there's Buffalo on the outside looking in at 56 points. Carolina still believes they have a chance. I forgot about them. 54 points. The Rangers and the Panthers, 49 and 48 points. Maybe Philadelphia tries to get in on the act. But here it is. a ton of teams are going to be airing it out over the next couple of weeks if they're on that wild card bubble. And then the rest of them that are in the upper half of the conference are going to be airing it out until we get to mid-April. Seeding matters. Home ice matters. You want to be on the right side of the bracket, the correct side of the bracket. So that's what you're going to see. You got that desperation out of Pittsburgh last night, plus the fact that they're coming off being embarrassed. Now, the question for me is, and we'll see, because it's a well-coached team, Barry Trotz is a miracle worker, but the Islanders have not played since the All-Star break. So can we catch them in the same way the Penguins caught us last night? Remains to be seen. One observation, and, you know, I don't know if it's just because it's Murphy's Law that I threw my weight behind him, and it's a considerable amount of weight, that I was willing to vote of confidence. I gave a vote of yes in the confidence department to Cedric Paquette. But last night, we don't need that, Ceddie. I'm not going to fly off the handle, but I'm going to grab the little water bottle and down, Ceddie P. Get off the screen door. We don't climb the screen door, Ceddie P. No. Bad, Ceddie P. An illegal hit on Letang. A lazy cross-check at center ice of the rookie. And, moreover, on the first goal, he lost his guy. So the fourth line scores for the Penguins, and it's because Ceddie P. and Girardi take turns losing a guy unaccounted for around the net, and they get a dirty goal, a cleaned-up goal, and it's 1-0 Pittsburgh, and the momentum is squarely on the Penguins' side for the rest of the first period. They cash in on seemingly every chance they get, but they got a lot of high-percentage chances. Braden Point gives it away behind the net. He doubles back behind the net after he's being hounded for the puck, and Eric Chernak continues up the right wing, right boards on the way out of the zone. You have a turnover, and there's a goal. I mean, it's just it's a bit of a mess. You have a 2-on-1 goal with Kessel as well, where it's a bad angle, and Stamkos is back-checking, and he has him until he doesn't. And Kessel finishes just north of the goal line. It's a bad angle shot, but you got to stay on your guy. It was just there was a lot of bad stuff last night. We were physical. I don't care that we had whatever it was, 50, 60 hits. We didn't look fresh. We didn't look ready to go. Some of that is understandable, but when you make mental mistakes like Ceddie P did, like Braden Point did, I mean, you got to get ripped for it all the same. So we'll see if they turn it around. You got a back-to-back this weekend. You're going to Brooklyn tomorrow night to face a really good Islanders team, and then it's that Rangers team. That's a team that's going to be desperate. They're playing New Jersey tonight. It's that second wave. Are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers at the trading deadline? That's coming up later this month in February. Today's January 31st. But I believe it's the 25th of February. That's the trading deadline this year. So we got to know what we are. Management wants to see, are we going to be an investor? Are we going to stand pat? Or are we going to sell this thing off and fire our coach and start from scratch? Teams know that. Guys don't want to leave their homes. They don't want to live in a hotel room for a couple of months as a rental. So that's what you're going to get at the Garden Saturday night. And then next week, Tampa, now that we're into the throes of our second half of the season, we follow up with a home game against Vegas, who's been playing well. And then we play St. Louis next Thursday. I lied to you. I don't know which day the Joe Bolts Fan podcast is going to be out next week. I will figure that out today, and I'll put it on my social media account at _ Tom Lang. But there should be something by this time, next weekend at the latest. I'm hearing whispers, people. I don't know the exact day, but obviously you saw, and this is a fun topic as we get into the second half, the third jersey talk is always something that hockey fans and fans in, of all sports, they love uniform talk. But for hockey fans, the third jersey is always a fun talking point. And for me, I can't wait to see what this looks like because it's going to be black. And Bolts fans that go back to the 90s, black was our color. So many teams in the late 90s, early 2000s, I can think of in baseball, my New York Mets did this. They're blue and orange, and that's their colors, and that's it. They experimented with a black alternate uniform. It was the thing to do. It was the cool thing to do. Black hats, black jerseys, black, whatever. The Bucks had a black jersey. Remember that thing? It was never worn. I think we might have worn it once for a Monday Night Football game, but everybody had a black alternate uniform. Well, that was our color. And so when Mr. Vinnick came in and he made all of these great changes and he empowered people to do their jobs, he created an organization where people aren't looking over their shoulder. The one thing that I wish he did a little differently was, I mean, he went to blue. He decided to go blue and white. for our colors. And I remember when I first saw the uniforms, especially the away uniform, and I said, God, we look like Toronto. We don't look like the Lightning. We look like the Maple Leafs. I got used to it, and if you're going to give me one of the great owners across all of sports, and all I have to do is give up a jersey, fine. I'll give up a jersey every time. But if you're going to give me a third jersey, and it's going to be a black third jersey, I've got two rules. Number one, it can't say Bolts across the chest. That uniform was always stupid, whether it was blue or whether it was black. That uniform was garbaggio. So give me a black uniform with a Bolt across the chest. Frankly, I'd love if they just go back to the 90s throwbacks. The way they looked when we were skating in pregame warmups this past season or two, honoring Marty St. Louis, honoring a cup champion, honoring Vinnie LeCavalier. Those throwbacks were amazing with the early 1990s lettering. And it's like the triple stitch, black, blue, and white. Yes. How about that? Go straight back to the 90s to where we came from and make those the alternate. They're not going to do that. By all accounts, it looks like the thing that was leaked a couple of months ago, the Adidas leak, where it's a black and muted silver-gray color for a lightning bolt. It looks like that's going to be where we go here. But give me the Bolt across the chest in a black jersey. Take my money. You're going to take my money. I'm going to buy that. I don't typically buy jerseys or baseball, you know, pullovers, unless they're a throwback. I have a Gary Carter New York Mets 1987. It's beautiful. It's like a royal blue color with the script of New York across the chest. I won't buy the new jersey every time it comes out. But this one, because it harkens back to our original days, absolutely. As long as it doesn't say Bolts across the chest. We're the Lightning. We are the Tampa Bay Lightning. So let's not do that thing. You don't see a Montreal jersey that says Habs across the chest. You know what I'm saying? On the other side of the break, a team in our division, a team in the Eastern Conference, got a whole lot better with the trade they made in the past 3 or 4 days. We'll talk about them and a couple other topics as we continue on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
As a reminder, subscribers, it's been an awkward week. The schedule is a little bit different. So if you're just picking this up tomorrow, February the 1st on Friday, and you're saying, hey, wait a minute, you recorded this yesterday? Well, not only is there this version of the podcast, but we have a Monday episode too. It's called The Great Bolt Breakdown. I got into some stuff about each player. I remarked on every single player on our roster. And it was some in depth, some not. I mean, I touched on the Yanni Gourdes, the Victor Hedmans of the world just before we took the All-Star break. But it's a good 20-minute little segment, 15, 20 minutes where I break down each player and what I'm seeing from them now, what they did over the course of the first half, and what we might be expecting, where they're trending heading into this part of the season. One guy I did mention, and I said I felt like he's coming on, JT Miller. Look at that goal last night. If you didn't catch the game against Pittsburgh, check out that laser that he lets go. It's a one-time blast from near the blue line, and it's in the back of the net before the cameras can catch up to it. It was very Steven Stamkos-like. I said before we got to the break that I thought JT Miller's game was coming on, and his shot looked live. I never thought it would look that live. Holy cow. If he continues to play like that, we're going to get some secondary scoring from a guy that we've been sorely missing. It's somebody who was a big piece to that February through April run last year. JT Miller came in, he started scoring goals right away. I think he had 10 before we got to the playoffs. So if he can continue down that path and be something like he was last season, great. We need another scorer. You can always use more goals, and as the games get tighter, third and fourth lines can help define, along with special teams, who comes out with the 2 points and who does not. But one team in our division did get better this week, and that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto, I don't think, is going to hawk us down in the division simply because there's not enough time in games, and I don't think we're going to fall flat on our face. We would need to help that equation out. We are 14 points clear of Toronto at this point in the season. I mean, it's possible, but they have to go on a killer tear, and we have to really, really struggle. I don't think that's in the cards for us. But in the playoffs, now, when we get to reset the button here, and it's about the best of seven. Okay, Toronto is gearing up for perhaps playing both Boston and us on the way through the bracket. It's not a reseeding through the first round. If you're not familiar with the way the NHL playoffs work these days, when we won the Cup in 2004, we were the beneficiaries of the Boston Bruins beating Montreal. The Montreal Canadiens beating the Boston Bruins in the first round of the playoffs. That was a 7 seed beating a 2 seed. We were the top seed in the East. We did not capture the President's Trophy. I believe it was Detroit who did so in the West back in the days that they were in the Western Conference. But the point is that in this day and age, we wouldn't have the benefit of being able to reseed and play the 7th best team in the East if they score an upset in the first round. We just stick to the bracket. And since we are in command of the division, Toronto is looking at facing probably Boston. If not, they're going to play Montreal. And then they play us before they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's a crappy fate if you finish 1-2 in the East standings that you have to face each other a round before the Eastern Conference Finals. But it's the system that we operate in now. And that's where Toronto got busy. They got to work and they found themselves a defenseman in Jake Muzzin. And that is somebody who is going to bring a new element to the table. Jake Muzzin is a really good defenseman when it comes to shutting down the rush, when it comes to shutting down the cycle in his own zone. He is not the greatest defenseman, first pass out of the defensive zone. He doesn't get you out in transition with that 100-foot pass the way that Toronto likes to do, the way that we like to do. But frankly speaking, the cycle is something that's been killing the Maple Leafs. From the Point Hockey, thepointhockey.com, it's the place I love to go for extra analytics talk. Cycle, chances against, even strength. What does that mean? It's along the boards, and you're just rifling it around the horn. You could visualize it with Point, Kucherov, and Johnson. Here they come. Point carries it in, carries it behind the net, backhands it up the wall behind the net to Nikita Kucherov. He skates another 15 feet, does it the same for Johnson. Johnson tries to fire in front. Offense is generated in front of the net because you win the battles along the wall. You are cycling along the wall. Well, Toronto is 5th worst in hockey in cycle chances against before the Jake Muzzin trade. They're giving up over 8 a game. The other teams in that group, Chicago, dead last in the league. The Senators, who are terrible this year, the Red Wings, who are terrible this year, and the Sabres. So they need to get better in that regard. In terms of puck battles won across all defensemen in the sport, Jake Muzzin is number 2 in the NHL. So they got a lot better in that particular area. The problem with Jake Muzzin is that he's pretty terrible in terms of turnovers coming out of his zone. Toronto is not that great from the defensive position in keying the breakout with one quick pass. And Jake Muzzin doesn't help them in that regard at all. So their thought here is clearly they have enough offense. They need better defense. They need to get the puck off of the opponent's stick in their own defensive zone. He does that really well. They need to limit second chances. He's very physical in front of the net. And let the chips fall where they may because they're gifted enough offensively. And the thing for Toronto, too, is this is more of a long-term deal for them because Jake Muzzin is under contract next season. So they got a lot better. It's probably not enough to tip the scales in their favor, in Toronto's favor, to come away with the 1 seed in our division. But it's something to watch for 2 reasons. One, a best-of-7 series where it feels like it's a fait accompli that we will be playing Toronto. And for the second reason, do we respond? Do we look at this trade as an organization and say, well, we need to get better in turn? I think the answer is no when you gauge need, but there's always room to get better. It would just be a luxury for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So here we go next week, tomorrow night, Friday, February the 1st, we go out to Long Island. We play the Islanders. That's a 7 o'clock start on Saturday. It's on NBC, not Sun. It's on NBC if you need to set your DVRs. We play the New York Rangers. And then Tuesday, we host Vegas. Thursday, we host St. Louis. And then next Saturday, we'll talk between then and now, we host the Pittsburgh Penguins, the team that just vanquished us 4-2, last night. Do we catch the Islanders sleeping the way the Pens caught us? Desperation is going to be the term for the next 2+ months in the regular season. We'll see if we are up to the task, and it will hold a better mirror to us as to where we are weak. There are some sequences last night that I thought we played really well, especially if you think about that 3rd period. if you could extend the game another 20 minutes, we might tie it. We might win the game. You could see our legs coming to life. All is not lost, but we need to be smart, too. See if we play smarter tomorrow night. See if we play smarter on Saturday night and into next week. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, as it is all season long. So thankful to those guys. So thankful to you for listening. And if you're brand new to the podcast, you can check us out on iTunes, Player FM, Podbean, Google Play. We're everywhere. Just search Joe Bolts Fan, and it should pop up right in your feed. Feel free to subscribe. Leave a review. You can message me at underscore Tom Lang. You can put a comment on the Joe Bolts Fan page, and we'll get to talking. Third jerseys next week. We shall see. How many points do we get next week? We shall see. Talk to you next week.